Second Peter, we'll be looking at verses chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Second Peter, chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. You can see the title of our message today is Progressive Sanctification. Talk about that in just a minute. But if you would, take a copy of God's Word, whether it's electronic or a pew Bible in front of you or the one that you brought, and turn it to 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's stand to our feet and reverence the reading of God's Word. 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 11. The Word of God says this, But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an interest will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. We pray, God, that your word go forth, touch our hearts for your glory, and all God's people said, you may be seated. Thank you. Peter continues challenging us about this question of how are we going to grow when we think about, I said Wednesday night, man, that preacher's going to preach on sanctification again. It's not the preacher. We're preaching God's Word. It just keeps coming up. How important is that we're growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Savior? And this progressive sanctification means it's not just a one-time deal. Are we saved and sanctified and set apart when Christ comes into our life? Absolutely. But we're talking about that personal walk with Christ as we grow more Christ-like as we go along. That progressive sanctification is that daily living it out before God. And Peter's going to really hammer on that in this part of his great book today. And so it kind of goes along with the Philippians where Paul says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, what does he mean by that? You work out what's in. The Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell within us when we receive Christ's atonement for our sin. But we work out that which is in us, that Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, it's surrounded by some stubborn stuff. Maybe that's just at my house. This old flesh and that spirit is constantly warring. Can anybody say amen? And it's amazing how, if we're not careful, we forget about what Peter's going to say. We forget about what we've been delivered from. And that greatness of God's Word and how it touches our life. And last week when we saw verses 3 and 4, and he was talking about the power of God that we have and the provision of God. And these things that we have, and the promises of God. And he's saying because of these things, which he starts out there, he said, "You, this is the way you're supposed to live. There's a part that we have to play. Do you understand that? God saves us. We never earn our salvation, but when we are saved, and we are, there's a part that we play in this walk that's called sanctification. And Peter's bringing that to the forefront today. And we all, listen, do we not all want to be productive? We all want to be productive in our life, to be effective people in just about every area. In your career, you don't care if you're productive or not. You're not much of a worker, are you? And we don't care if we're effective. Listen. Not this coming week, but the next week, I'm traveling down to Charlotte to have a procedure, a hernia surgery. And the last thing I want is for a gynecologist doctor to come in there. Hey, are you nervous? Yeah, I am. Me too. After he's finally got reinstated, is what it just said, right? And he says, oh, we'll work it out when we get in there. Is that what we want from our surgeons, huh? You know what we want them to be? We want them to be productive and effective. We want them to have confidence in the things that we're doing. And so every area of our life, we expect that, do we not, from people? Listen, it works spiritually as the way we are to be productive spiritually. We're supposed to be effective. We are supposed to, in our walk with the Lord, this progressive sanctification, it's supposed to be more like, we're supposed to be more Christ-like every day. And I'm going to tell you, that's easy to mouth. That's easy to say, but it's very difficult in this that world that we live in, and this flesh that we're surrounded by. But I love Peter's going to encourage them. It's not this understanding of being arrogant, but he's saying, you know, you should have this productive, effective way of communicating Christ and living Christ out in our life. And how do we do that? Well, I think he's going to touch on that today. And so I want you to see, let's look at two truths in our progressive sanctification this morning. And the first truth is, your faith must grow. You hear that? Your faith must grow. What does it say? He said, but also, for this very reason, he's looking back to that power of God, the promises of God, the provision of God. He said, because of that, he said, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. He's saying, add to your faith. We know that it's without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's what the Scripture tells us. But he's saying, it's a faith that's growing. It's a faith that's maturing, and we see that. I heard one preacher say one time, said, if you ain't growing, you ain't going. That's pretty good English, ain't it? I remember that. That's pretty easy for me, right? If you ain't growing, you ain't going. And so he's saying this growth is, this personal sanctification, this progressive sanctification, is this indicator of what's inside of us and that growth that comes through us daily. Peter says, for this reason, you know, here's the deal. God did this for you, is what Peter said. God gave you this wonderful salvation that we looked at, that provision, that power, these things that he did in our life. But he's saying, you know what? He requires for you to live this out. Do you understand that this morning? And that's what he's telling us. That means, listen, he's challenging us to this part-time, on-the-side religion that if we're not careful, that's what we do. We just tack it on because we're so busy in our world, in our life, that we just kind of part-time it, kind of stick it on the side. Jesus said, any man come after me, he must what? Deny himself. Take up your cross and follow me. He wants to be number one. He wants your priority to be him. You see, it's not, we don't have, the truth of the matter is, he's not a part-time. He's either all the way or he's not. And that's what Peter's getting at when he's telling them here. He's telling them, listen, Christ, if you're Christ's disciple, then you shouldn't have competing priorities in your life. This world is full of priorities that compete for our time, that compete for Christ in our life. And anybody that says it's not is crazy. If you're living in this world, it's constantly something pulling at us and tugging at us, and our young people especially think about what they have to do, and they're being told this and they're being told that. And then here's the truth: if we don't show them the priority of Christ in our life, mom and dad, where are they going to see it? Where are they going to see it? And it's like the frog in the kettle kind of thing, the boiling pot. You just keep turning it up, the frog will sit there till it boils. And as the heat gets turned up, we get busier and busier and busier. And before we know it, we're just boiling in the pot of this world that says this is what's important. When the truth is, Christ is the only priority that we should have in our life. And all else fails in comparison. He says that many times. That we are, it's supposed to fail in comparison to him. The priorities in our life. And that's what Peter's getting to. Peter understood this, man. He wrote that very song. Where Peter, listen, how many of us would have got out of the boat? Let's just be honest. How many of us, when he said, oh, Lord, come to me, just that ocean song right before in that scripture that you read, and he's out on the water, and they're saying, oh, it's a ghost. And he said, no, it's Jesus. Peter said, well, if it's you, Lord, come on. Hey, steps out of the boat. How many of us would have got out of the boat? And yet we know he fails miserably, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. He pours out his power in these promises, but he wants us to have this top priority in our life, and that's him and Jesus and no other. How many competing priorities do you have in your life? You say, well, he's number one. I dare you to then sit down with a journal and journal your time and see how much time that you spend on other things. And see how much time you spend with the Lord. Or how about our giving? How much money? You show me your checkbook, I'll show you God. Let's just be honest. These things, these litmus tests, these priorities are revealed in our life by our actions and what we do. And so when he's getting to this, he's not saying that we should sit back, here's what we want to do. Oh, I feel pretty good about myself. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I didn't know it was loose like that. I'm just going to take it easy. I'm going to come in and listen to the preacher on Sunday morning, maybe get a little fired up every now and then, but it ain't going to change me when I leave here. I just got entertained. And that's what Peter's combating against. He's saying, listen, church, remember, they're dealing with false teachers. They're dealing with people that are coming in and trying to sway them and pull them aside and trying to make them fall in their beliefs of the orthodox true Christianity. And he said, hey, we should never feel arrogant or feel like we're good. We should always be humble to the point that we say, Lord Jesus, help me. Help me, Lord Jesus. If we boast about him. What do we got to boast in? Come on. He saved us. We were destined for hell. He saved us and made us a child of the King. Can we boast about that? It wasn't any goodness in me. It was Christ Jesus. How can I boast about anything but Christ Jesus and him crucified in my life? It's learning. I'm telling you, it's like learning to eat sour cream. The love of a woman will make you do some strange things. Now, I didn't like sour cream to begin with. Okay, sour cream, just the thought of it. Think about that. Sour cream? Sour! You got to say it right. Sour cream, right? But they kept talking about how good it was, you know, and I'm thinking, ooh, sour cream. But the more I thought, well, they like it. Her and Sierra love it. And I thought, well, you know what? Huh? You like it. You love it. On chili and stuff like that. And I thought, man, now that's messing good chili up, right? And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to try it again. After a while, you wear down and say, you know what? I'd like to have some sour cream on my chili. Listen. If we're not careful, we do life that way. And we should do Christ that way. Listen, we should let him into our life, every area of our life, to where he becomes beloved to us. And the first thought is Christ and him and what he desires in our life. When was the last time when you were making a decision, did you ask yourself, what does Jesus want out of this situation? And Peter's saying, listen, we've got to make him our priority. And then he talks about these principles. What did he say? To add to faith. He's saying, your faith just not just faith. Okay, I've got my faith, so I'm going to heaven. He said, no, you got to add, be diligent. What do we mean by diligence? That means working hard, doesn't it? It's not an easy thing. He's saying, being diligent, working. To do what? To add to these, add to your virtue. Look at verse 5. Add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. And so I want you to understand, these are not a paint-by-numbers of sanctification. This is not, okay, I'm doing pretty good there, and I'm not doing really good there. It's not paint-by-the-numbers of sanctification. Why? It's the Master who's doing it, painting through you. Do you think Rembrandt or Da Vinci or any of these would use a paint-by-the-numbers set? No, it's the Master. And as he flows through us, we allow him to work through us. And his mastery, we see this, it's character. It's the character, that maturity as we go along. We see these things in our life. He said, man, add to faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. Knowledge of what? Trivia of the world? No, knowledge of God's Word and God's character and what God desires. This knowledge, the only way it can be found is in that personal relationship with God, with Christ, and growing in him. And he continues on, your knowledge, self-control. And when you have a knowledge of the Scripture, self-control just flows from that, doesn't it? And perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. So the summit of all this, as we're growing and maturing in this progressive sanctification, the summit of that is love. Love. 1 John. Listen to that. Or Colossians. Let's do Colossians 1, 28 verse and 29. It says, Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to His working, with works which works in me mightily. So Paul's saying in Colossians, he's saying, we're supposed to work towards this maturity. We're not supposed to just be satisfied in where we are. And even Paul includes himself, the Apostle Paul, the one that planted all these churches, that wrote all the books of the New Testament. He said, he's still working on me. He's working it out. Paul would allow, you know, it's the truth of the matter is, I talked about in Sunday school, the reason we don't want to work on these things is that we don't like failing. We fail a lot. Is anybody else? Maybe it's just me. We fail a lot. So when we fail, we don't like that. We don't like to fail. We want to be victory. Yeah, we want victory. Listen, we don't want to fail. But you know what we do when we fail? We lower the standard. We lower the standard where we don't fail so we can feel good about ourselves. That's the Sermon on the Mount. That's the Sermon on the Mount that we study, that we're going through. We're going through it in our brotherhood, Matthew. What was the Sermon on the Mount? It was Jesus saying, listen, the Pharisees said, I'm righteous. This is my righteousness and I can prove it out. Jesus said, listen, your righteousness is nothing. This is the standard. And you know what the standard showed? They couldn't attain to it, and neither could you. It's Christ in His Holy Spirit. And that's what he's saying right here. He said, listen, don't lower the bar. We can't, but He can. And our failures is a reminder that we need Him. And you know what you do? I love this. I had a preacher tell me this when I was young in the faith. He said, you fall, dust yourself off and do the next thing right. If you don't hear anything else today, if you're struggling with something and you're failing, get up, dust yourself off, ask God to forgive you and do the next thing right. And don't let Satan beat your pants off about how you fail all the time. Do the next thing right. That's progressive sanctification. That's growing in Him. Because I want you to think about Peter. Look, listen, he said, this love that comes from this maturity, it'll saturate every area of your life. You can't have, well, I love this group over here. I don't love that group. It's love, is it not? That's the summit. Listen to what 1 John says, 1 John 2, 3 through 6. It says, now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfect in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. There it is. Christ's likeness is the goal. First John said, if you say, and you know what? If we say that we love Jesus, how many people do we see that say we love Jesus that live contrary to His word? What did John say? That's the apostle of love, by the way. John, First John, strong as goat guts. What did he say? You don't live by His commandments, you can say all day long you love Him. He said, you're a liar. You're a liar. That's just what John's saying. He said, our life is going to live out this thing. This progressive sanctification is going to grow in us. And we're going to learn to love more and more and more. No growth, no salvation. That's what John's saying. No growth, no salvation. You know why? Something that's alive is going to grow. Is it not? Something that's alive is going to grow. Something that's dead never will. But something that's life's going to grow. And so he says, man, let this maturity come through these things that we see, that not just faith, but we've got all this knowledge that we're growing in the Lord, and it brings out self-control. In other words, I don't pitch a fit like I used to. Every now and then I still do. And it's over. So this time it's something still silly, like something falls out on the closet. You ever do that? You're going, you got your hand full of something, and you're like, oh, I finally got the door open, and then all of a sudden it looks like, boom, 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 falls out on you. Yeah, and then you just throw it all on the floor. I'll pick it up after a while, honey. She thinks, you shouldn't act like that. You're a pastor. Listen, I want you to know something. I'm a disciple of Jesus first. Okay? And that's everybody's standard. We're all His disciples. And if I'm a disciple of Christ, then I shouldn't act like that. Not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I should have these things that's growing in me. Listen, it's a lot better than it used to be. We won't go into that. I'm so thankful that He's growing and He's teaching me and I'm learning. And yes, I still, those failures remind me that I have a long way to go. A long way. And it brings me back to the reality, man, I just rely on Him so much more. And so we go on, and I want you to know that it's a barometer in our life. When we're a disciple of God, we are to love people. Listen, I heard one pastor call them even the EGRs. What's that? Extra grace required. You have any EGRs in your life? Extra grace required. God has a way of putting them in your life, does He not? He does. Listen, the purpose is for you to grow in Him. The EGRs. Extra grace required. And there's going to be people like that in your life, but you know what? Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. And Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. I don't know how Paul didn't know me, because I'm the chief of sinners. And I have people, and grace was applied to my life that I did not deserve any grace, and yet I received it. And so I should apply that same grace to those that don't deserve it sometime, or I might say don't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. Faith that's real is learning to love those that are not easy to love. Your faith must grow. But lastly, I want you to see this. Growing faith brings benefits, verses 8 through 11. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an interest will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He begins and he's telling, he said, this is what Peter says the benefits of this progressive sanctification is, this faith that grows. First is, if you possess these things, you'll be fruit. You won't be unfruitful. Look, he says, you'll be fruitful. You'll be fruitful. You'll produce this fruit. In Him we bear fruit. John 15 tells us that. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man abides in me and I in him, he will do what? He will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so he says that if you possess these things, if you possess these maturing, this character that's growing in Christ, you're going to be fruitful. Secondly, not blind and ungrateful. Look at verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten what he is, that he was cleansed from his old sins. This, God, by the way, by nature, this is what we were before Christ, blind and short-sighted. When we come to know Christ, we're not blinded anymore. In fact, we're aware of our sins and we're aware of our lack and how we need Jesus desperately. And he said these things will come forth in your life and Christ will let you know and he'll never let you forget what he's done for you. Because we see that next when he talks about that verse 10, where he talks about we have not forgotten, verse 9, where he talks about we haven't forgotten that he has cleansed us from our old sin. But we never forget what he's done for us. Have you gotten over your salvation? Has it been so long that you forgot what you were without Christ? You say, I was a child and all this. It doesn't matter. If he's delivered you, you don't have to have the garbage I have in my testimony to have a great testimony. But when he's delivered you from the slave block of sin. It doesn't matter how bad the block was or how it wasn't. And you never forget because he comes to dwell within us and he changes our life. It's no longer me thinking volitionally I need to do this. It's Christ in me working through me. It comes through my heart. And it continues to work on us. And so we're not ungrateful. But look, we have an assurance too. Verse 10, what does he say? Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. There's that word again, diligent. To make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, what does he say? You will never, never, never stumble.
What's he mean?
Fanny Crosby. Oh, Fanny. Blind. They damaged her eyes treating her. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. What a song. Blessed assurance. We have an assurance. I want you to know something. If it relied on you, then yeah, you could lose it. You better check up if you think you could lose your salvation, because it's relying on you and what you do. But if it relies on Him, Scripture says, nothing will snatch me from His hand. Now, that don't mean like I can be arrogant, I can do anything I want. It makes me think, man, He's given me this assurance. He's given me everything that I need to live out this progressive sanctification in my life, because I have a home. I have a destiny. I have a place that far exceeds this old world right here. As beautiful as this snow was this morning. Boy, wasn't it pretty. I got out here when it was quiet. No sound. It was just sitting out here. It's like, wow. Wow. Lord, how beautiful. This is falling. There's coming a day when I'll go to a place that's never been touched by fallenness. You talk about beautiful. And that's not what I'm looking for, by the way. As much as I love nature, I'm looking for Jesus. Why? He's the one that died for me. And the only reason that I'm there, the only reason. And can you imagine to come face to face with your Savior for the first time? What is that going to feel like? Boy, you better get a little tore up about it. I get up there singing about what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I get tore up about it up there. Can you imagine when I'm looking at Him face to face? The one who died for me. Woo! I'm telling you what, if that don't fire you up, nothing will. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Why? Because listen, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Until that day, He won't be done. Because we're growing in this. This assurance that He gives us. And you know what He says? His sheep will know, my sheep will know my voice. Do you know His voice? We learn His love and we walk with Him because we're walking in the light. No longer walking in the darkness. Because I want you to see verse 11. We're going to finishing well. Another one of those benefits. Look, you'll be fruitful. You won't be blind and ungrateful. You'll have this assurance and you're going to finish well. Look what verse 11 says. For so an interest will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you what. Peter said, you want to finish well? You want to finish well? Just make sure your calling and election are sure. Be diligent that Christ, you have Christ. And he says, you can't fall when it's like that. False teachers of Peter's day was trying to drag them away and make them fall. Peter's saying, listen, you can't fall when you're in Christ. You can't fall. How can somebody pull you away with false teaching if you know the truth? Talked about that counterfeit. Somebody gives you a $100 bill that looks in crayon. You're not going to take it and say, oh, I'll just spend this, are you? How do you know that it's counterfeit? Well, if it's written in crayon, that's a pretty good indication, ain't it? How do I know? Because I know what a real $100 bill looks like. And that's what they do. They study that. When you know the truth, false teachers cannot pull you away because you know the truth of God's Word. And it's for each and every one of us. Not for preachers. Not for deacons. For every disciple of Christ. You have His Word. And you can know false teaching when it comes your way. Peter is stating that as we walk with Him and grow in the grace and knowledge of Him, he states that we are headed for a grand finale, a final destination. When the trumpet sounds, it's over. I want you to know something. The trumpet can sound now. It can sound now. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road. Do you need, if you think, are you ready? Are you ready? Because a true child knows it. Is there something that you, well, wait a minute, if the trumpet's going to sound in the next second or so, all you need to do is let Him do it in your life. And you're ready, and we have this assurance that Peter's telling us that this progressive sanctification grows and grows, and it culminates in glorification when I'm before my Lord and Savior forever and ever, delivered from sin and myself. Praise God. That's what the culmination is. An everlasting kingdom. How long is everlasting? It's everlasting. You can't even comprehend, because it's already February and to 2020, and it felt like it just turned 2020, all right? Everlasting, it ain't going to matter. Days a thousand years is a day. In other words, a billion years from now, I'm still going to be alive. And you are too, lost or saved. You're either going to be in heaven or you're going to be in hell. Two places. Two people in this room, lost or saved. And if you're saved, you're growing in the Lord. You don't just got your get out of hell free card and sit back and ride in the mill train. You're growing in Him. Applications, and we'll be done. Linda, come and play. First one, hey, do you love the ERGs in your life? Extra grace required. Do you love them? Number two, do you have this blessed assurance? Can you imagine old Fanny pinning that out? Can't see, but she can see. She might not have physical eyes, but she's got spiritual eyes. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. It's a foretaste of what's to come. The assurance of knowing that we got that salvation in Christ. Number three, very simple. Are you growing in Christ? Let's stand on our feet. Peter's message is pretty straight to the point. Truth is, two people in this room right now, lost or saved. Lost or saved. Shut your eyes before the Lord. Now, you're coming before the Lord right now. Nobody, don't think about who's in this room. Don't think about what you're going to do after you get out of here, where you're going to eat, yada, yada, yada. Whatever it is, it's trying to occupy your mind right now. But all you got to do is ask yourself, which one am I? Am I lost or am I saved? And I'm not sitting there thinking, well, I sure hope I am. I'm saying I know that I am because of what Jesus Christ has done in my life. Do you need Christ? This altar is open. Come to Him and receive Him. In Jesus' name, come and receive Christ. What's He saying to you? I'm going to give you a minute because here, some of you are dealing with, man, I need to get this right. I need to get right. See, if I need to, Jesus didn't need to come. You can't, but He can. You get it right, He'll clean the rest of it up, okay? What does Jesus want you to do today? Are you growing? Are you, here's the deal. Are you satisfied? Do you find yourself, you know what, I'm okay? That's the worst thing a person can say in God's presence. What's He want from you? Don't tarry. What's He saying to you? Be obedient, please. Several people are praying. What about you? Are you going to go on the same old way you walked in and say, well, it sure was a good sermon, preacher. It wasn't for a good sermon. It was, listen, what has it done in your life? What are you going to do with it? What's God going to do in you? What are you going to allow Him to do in you? Is He your priority? Looky here. I want you to understand something. Make sure, be diligent to make sure you're calling. That's what Peter said. You should never leave here and not know if you're saved or not. And don't let what anybody thinks about you other than God Himself and Jesus Christ keep you from being assured of that assurance, that blessed assurance. Don't leave here without it. Why? Because it's the only thing that will matter at the end of this old age one day. All the things that you're working so hard for will burn, and it won't matter. But what you've done for Christ will stand. And so keep that in mind and know that I'm here. Any way I can help you, I love you. I appreciate you coming out on a snowy day. Come back tonight, 6 o'clock, man. We're going to have our finger foods and fellowship. We have a great time just sitting around and learning and studying. Lee's got the youth. We've got Kingdom Kids, something for everybody. Come back out. Let's grow together on this progressive sanctification in Jesus' name. Lee, end is in prayer, please.